morning we will have two scripture readings. First scripture reading is from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And while you're looking that up, I want to say it's good to be back again from our vacation. Janae and I had a very enjoyable time, and I bring you greetings also from the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, where I preached on July 6th, and they wanted us to be sure to know that they are praying for us as those requests come forth for them to pray for. So, bring that to you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll be reading the whole chapter, and after that we'll be reading a portion from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. 1 Samuel 17, let us hear the word of God. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp in Ephes-Damin between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second was Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine camp came forward every morning and evening, and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done? David said. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield-bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and said that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, and he drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pushed the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shaharim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, Abner, whose son is that young man? Abner replied, As surely as you live, O king, I don't know. The king said, Find out whose son this young man is. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with David still holding the Philistine's head. Whose son are you, young man? Saul asked him. David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. And then we'll be reading one verse from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, from the Halls of Faith. Verse 32 says, And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet. We as a congregation have been working through together the book of Hebrews. And as we have been working through the book of Hebrews, and in particular chapter 11, we have been focusing on the faith of each particular person listed in the halls of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And one of the reasons why the author commends these people for their faith is because of the life situation of the people in the book of Hebrews who are receiving this letter. They are a group of people who are undergoing suffering and persecution for their faith. They are insulted for what they believe. They have their lives threatened for what they believe about God and for how they live. And if you remember, one of the questions that they are commonly asking is, why did God send us a Savior like Jesus who died on the cross? We wanted a Savior who would lead Israelite armies into battle and once again reconquer the kingdom of Israel and again put Jerusalem out as the capital city, and all the nations would come and worship God through the land of Israel. But instead, God sent them a Savior, Jesus, who died on the cross. And for some of them, as you read through the book of Hebrews, you begin to see that they are struggling with their faith, wondering if it is really true that such a Savior who died on a cross could save them. Well, now as we work our way through the halls of faith, we find the name of David included. Just what kind of faith did David have? For some of the Hebrews, as they looked at that name, they may have become frustrated to find his name included. You remember that the Hebrews wanted to have a Savior like David. They wanted a Savior who would come and lead their armies as David did, would reconquer the land of Israel as David finished conquering. The great hero, the military leader that David was, is what they wanted for a Savior. Now they are being called to have the faith of David. And again, just what kind of faith did David have? Well, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us that in their definition of faith, of Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That was the kind of faith that David lived by in his life. He was sure that even though he didn't see it, that it would happen. He was certain that even though armies and things were around him and attacked him and the battle looked lost, that God would save him and rescue him. Well, there are many stories in the life of David which we could focus on his faith. All the other men and women included in the halls of faith usually have particular episodes that we could focus on, and we could say that's the time in their life where they demonstrated faith. Well, with David, we have several different places in which we could mention and describe this kind of faith that David had. But because of our time, our lack of time this morning, we can't cover all these different passages. We are going to focus on one passage that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, the story of David and Goliath. This story of David and Goliath is a wonderful example of the faith of David and how he demonstrated the faith of Hebrews chapter 11. If you look again at 1 Samuel 17, you will see that there is a battle going on and the battle lines are being drawn. In verses 1 through 3, you have the Philistines, as it says in verse 3, occupied on one hill, and the Israelites on another hill with the valley in between them. Clearly the battle lines are drawn. You have one army on one hill, the other army on the other hill, and they are facing each other with a valley in between. As we read the first three verses, it would seem very clear that the text is telling us that neither side has the advantage at this point. They are simply two armies staring at each other, ready to go into battle. But as we move on to verse 4, we see that there is one difference between the two armies. And it would seem that as we look at those first verses in 4 through 6 and 7, that there is one big difference that one army has that the other army is lacking. And that difference is the one army has a champion. The Philistine army has a champion, and his name is Goliath. He is 9 feet tall. He has a bronze helmet on his head, a coat of scale armor of bronze that he's wearing. On his legs he wore bronze greaves. A bronze javelin was slung on his back. He had a very large spear like a weaver's rod and an iron point which weighed 600 shekels. He is well armed, he is large, and the Israelites are afraid. The Philistines have a champion, but the Israelites, as we will see, have no champion. And the champion of the Philistines is beginning to taunt the Israelites. He comes down into the valley and he begins to challenge them, as we see in verses 8 through 10. Goliath stood and he shouted at the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Goliath is defying the army of God. He is defying the people of God, and he is saying that Saul has them in slavery and that he, as the Philistine champion, wants to bring them into slavery. He is challenging them out there in the valley. And what is the Israelites doing? Where is their champion? Well, verse 11 tells us, "On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." Saul is their king. He is supposed to be the champion of Israel who will lead them into battle. But as their king is dismayed and terrified, so are the people of Israel dismayed and terrified. They are like sheep without a shepherd. The enemy has a champion standing out, shouting at them and taunting them, and they have nothing to do except be afraid, terrified, and dismayed. There is no champion in Israel. Well, David enters the story in verse 12. David, and there is a description in those next few verses that he's the son of Jesse, and Jesse who had 8 sons and so forth, and it describes that 3 of Jesse's sons, his firstborn, Eliab, the secondborn, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah, they are all there in the battle lines. But where is David? Verse 14 tells us that he was the youngest, the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Israel is like sheep without a shepherd. They need to have a shepherd to lead them and to guide them. They have no shepherd. But there is a shepherd who is going back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. David enters the scene. Well, as we look at verse 17, after 40 days of this taunting, Jesse says to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." David is sent to encourage them. He is sent by his father to bring them some food, to encourage the army, and to encourage his brothers. And so we read in verse 20 as it goes on, that early in the morning David left his flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great distress and fear. Here comes Goliath, once again shouting and taunting Israel. David has never heard this before, but suddenly in our passage we read that David does hear it. David hears it and he sees the Israelites run like sheep without a shepherd. And so when David hears it, the text tells us in verse 26 that David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You see, David sees something in our text that no one else who is in there notices. This is not just a physical battle between the Philistines and between the Israelite armies. This is a spiritual battle. When David says, "What is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" When David looks at the armies of Israel, he sees the army of God. When he hears the shouting of this Philistine, who he describes as uncircumcised, not part of God's people, he sees him shouting at God. David sees this battle far greater than anyone else in the story sees. They see a champion who is taunting them. David sees a champion who is taunting the living God. David hears this, and he questions how anybody could let this man do such a thing to God and to God's people and God's army. So when he asked the questions, they repeated to him what he had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." And when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. What do we see in these passages? We see Goliath, who is calling out and he is stirring up the army of Israel. He is stirring them into fear of his power and into fear of the Philistines. So far, no one has ever stirred up the army of Israel in fighting against the Philistines. Goliath has stirred them, but suddenly David begins to ask questions, and what David says, and when David displays his faith in the army of the living God, he stirs up Israel. His brother pulls him aside and tells him that he's crazy. He burned with anger at him and almost tells him to go home. Then there's the rest of the people. He begins to ask more people, and soon what David is saying, what David is expressing, ends up going to King Saul, who hears it, and it is reported to him, and Saul responds. He sends for David. And so in verse 32, David says to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has both killed the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David is expressing his faith, As we read, as David is describing it here, he is describing himself as a shepherd. A shepherd who was able to take on a lion and a bear because he had faith in God. He had faith that God would protect him, that God would guide him. And now he sees Israel without a shepherd, and he is willing to be that shepherd. He says that this Philistine will be destroyed as God helped me destroy these wild animals. So Saul gives David instructions to go and have the Lord be with him. But before he goes, Saul tries to give him his equipment, his coat of armor, his bronze helmet, his sword. Saul cannot be the rescuer of Israel. He does not dare go out and fight Goliath because Saul has no faith. He tries to put his equipment that he would use to save Israel on David to make him the shepherd. But David says, I cannot go in these. So he took them off. And in verse 40 it tells us that he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is one God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of his sword and drew it from the scabbard. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. David, as you read in those verses, has faith. He has faith that he is coming and he is fighting. He is leading the army of the living God. He has faith that God will give him the victory, and that this Philistine who defies God and who defies the armies of the living God will die. With only a stone, he is able to sling it, sink it into his head, and kill the Philistine. David, as you read this chapter, has faith. And the Hebrews, as they are suffering, as they are struggling, are being called to have the faith of David. What is the faith of David? Well, as we read this story and as we see the enemies of God, the uncircumcised, taunting God's army and taunting God's people, David has faith in what? That this is not just a battle of two armies, that this is not just a physical battle, but this is actually a spiritual battle. This is a battle that the Hebrews are fighting against not just those who persecute them, but this is a battle that they are fighting against those who hate God. When they are being persecuted, they are defying the living God and all of His people. They are being called, as the Hebrews, to have the faith of David, to have the faith that God will give them the victory, that God will conquer them, and that they are fighting for the living God. This is a spiritual battle. They need to have faith. But you remember that the Hebrews were asking for a Savior who could come like David, who could lead their armies into battle and fight against the Romans. As we read this story and as we hear again of what David did, the Hebrews must have thought to themselves, this is the kind of Savior that we want. This is the kind of king. And instead, we got one that died on a cross. Yet as you continue reading the story of David and what David did and how he acted in his faith, in 2 Samuel 11 you read about King David and what he did with Uriah and with Bathsheba. When David, the shepherd king, the one who had saved Israel and led their armies into battle, was walking upon his roof, he noticed there the wife of one of his sheep, and he asked, he sent for her, he committed adultery with her, and later on he killed one of those sheep, Uriah. David, the king with great faith, David, the king that led Israel into battle, David, the king who the Hebrews wanted once again to fight their battles for them, was not the final king of Israel. David was not the king that would bring in God's kingdom. David was a man of great faith in God and in God's armies and in the spiritual battle, but David, as we read toward the end of his life, was not the righteous king. He failed. He sinned against his own flock. He destroyed his own flock. David also needed a Savior. David needed a champion like Jesus. Jesus came as a righteous king. Jesus came and he brought justice. Jesus came and he brought righteousness. And Jesus came as the champion. You see, one thing we learn from this story about David and Goliath is that David is acting as a type of Christ. He is coming and he is demonstrating as the leader of God's army that he will win, that he will defeat God's enemies, and he will lead Israel into battle. And don't forget the picture at the end of this story. For in verse 57 of 1 Samuel 17, it tells us, as soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. David, acting on behalf of God, acting on behalf of Christ, has cut off the head of Goliath. We see the picture of David standing before the king of Israel, holding the head. David, the deliverer of Israel, who has destroyed the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. When Jesus came, when Jesus died on the cross, the seed of the woman was destroying the head of the serpent. When he died on the cross, when he rose again, that Savior began to crush the head of the serpent. He began to win the victory. He became what David became in holding that head. So was Christ in his death and in his resurrection upon the cross. The Hebrews are calling for a Savior. They wanted a Savior like David who could come and who would lead their armies into battle and fight against the Romans and all those who hated God's people here on this earth. But what the Hebrews were forgetting is that God had already sent them a champion. This champion has already won this battle. This champion has come and he has died on the cross. He has destroyed the head of the serpent. This battle has already been won, and now the final stages of this battle are coming forth. We wait until the day where this champion will come from the clouds in all his glory and bring a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of justice, and we will be with him forever. This battle has already been won, and the Hebrews had to be reminded to have the faith of David, a faith which sees beyond this present world, beyond the physical, a battle that is spiritual, a battle that is won. What about you? As you live your life, as you struggle, as you face the persecution and those who defy you for what you believe and for Christ and for what and for how you live, you already have a champion. You have one who has come, one who has spoken for you, one who has given you the victory, who has brought his kingdom in through the power of his Spirit, through the power of his death and resurrection. He is holding the head. He has won. Yet there are those who reject him. There are those who defy him. There are those like Goliath who have nothing to do with him and hate him. You take comfort in the faith of David that this battle has been won, that Christ has come, that he has delivered you, and that he is king. Amen. Father in heaven, as we look at this story of David this morning, we see the power of your kingdom. We see the power of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to bring armies, but who humiliated himself in coming to die on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for him, and we thank you for the resurrection. For through the power of his resurrection, we know the joy that he has already won the battle, and that your enemies will someday completely be destroyed. Lord, as we live our lives, as we struggle, as we face those who do not know you, may, Lord, we take comfort in the power of Christ, in the power of the victory that he has won on the cross. May we see the power of your deliverer, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us, Lord, the faith of David, faith which sees beyond this present world and the struggles that we have, faith which sees into the future, to the power of Christ and what he has done. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.